Girly Whirlies, how are you? Welcome to the Girly Whirly Show. Thank you so much for being here. I'm still just so grateful for all your support. I'm still such a noob here in the podcast world, in the podcast realm. So I'm just so grateful for all your support and all your listens. And I love you so much. Today, we're going to talk about... Actually, before that, happy December. Oh my God, myself and Sam, we have our tree. Our tree is up. She's right here beside me. She smells amazing. She looks pretty beautiful, if I do say so myself. I went a bit wild on the baubles. I got baubles in Selfridges and Harrods, which is so bougie of me, but I just got really excited when we were in London. And the lights are a bit of a mess. I'm not going to lie. The lights a bit messy, but just imagine the smell, girls. The smell really is there. When you walk into the living room, the smell, she's living. She's Christmas tree. She's beautiful. And we got a cute little basket for the bottom of her next home. I recommend. She looks really pretty with her little basket. I'm sorry. You can't see her right now. Just envision a cute little tree. We had so much fun. It's our first Christmas in this apartment together. So we had a ball doing it. We did it on the 1st of December, which I think is going to have to be tradition now, that we'll always do it on the 1st of December. We are a real tree family, apparently. And hopefully, I'd like to think we'll stick to that tradition. But I know a lot of people love fake. I did a poll on my Instagram and more people chose fake over real. But for me, I love the real. I love a real tree. I love the smell. Her name's Trish. Trish the tree is beautiful. Anyway, girlies, we're here today to discuss the flop era. We all have a flop era. It's also known as, you know, your rock bottom. But we're going to talk about getting out of the flop era, how to get out of it and have your glow up. Have your villain era. If I was going through a breakup, I'd be like, yeah, I want a villain era. I feel like a villain era is a little bit of revenge, whatever, revenge body or whatever you want it to be. It's just that little, it's kind of like a revenge attitude of like, okay, he hurt me, they hurt me, let's go. Villain era, we're tapping into that. I'd like to say I did a strong villain era, but I didn't. But I've had my glow ups. So this week, UCD, this is wild. UCD so very kindly, shockingly, gave me the James Joyce Award. I received the James Joyce Award. I did a lovely little ceremony with them. It was wild. I don't know how I was chosen. It's a shock to the system. You're probably thinking it too. It's an honor. And thank you so much to UCD. I love you. Because I went to UCD. So it was just shocking that they wanted to give it to me. But they did. And we had a little ceremony and I did a little speech. And the speech, obviously I was talking to college students. So I wanted the speech to be kind of like what I would tell my college self. So my speech kind of explored the rock bottoms I've been in and how I pulled myself out of them. And they kind of, like, they're a huge part of who I am. So I don't regret them. I'm glad they happened, obviously not at the time. So we must talk about our rock bottoms, our flop eras. And flop eras are pretty essential. I saw on TikTok someone said, if you're going through a flop era, your flop era is always followed by your glow up. So the glow up is coming. So do not worry. So we're going to talk all about it. How we're going to glow up, how we're going to get out of the flop era, how we're going to cope with the flop era. It's never too late to get out of your flop era, especially this time of year. New Year's coming. We can start working on getting out of our flop era now and being a brand new bitch for the new year. We love it. So let's discuss. So my first rock bottom, I touched briefly on it in our first episode. It was going into college, the start of college. I went into college a broken woman. I was not in a good place. Even before that, I realized in this rock bottom, say first year college, I realized that I just never liked myself. Like, it was this huge, oh my God, like, I actually hate myself. Like, I've told myself pretty much every day of my life that I hate my body because at a very young age, I've shared this before on YouTube, very young age, my dad told me I had a beer belly. I shouldn't laugh because it was traumatizing, but it wasn't a joke. Like, it was just a bad time. But it's funny when I say it out loud. But at the time, Sophie wasn't laughing. I think I was age 10 in a bikini on holidays. Was I 9 or 10? No, hold on. I think I was either 10 or 12. I'm going to say 10. Either way, it was shocking. It obviously struck a chord. Like, it triggered me. At that age, you shouldn't be self-aware. You shouldn't be self-conscious. You shouldn't be conscious of your body. But unfortunately, a lot of us are made that way because of comments made or things we go through, whatever. So I, from a really young age, was told, oh my God, your belly. So then I still, to this day, have a complex about my belly. I've been very honest about that. It's a wild one, but from a young age, I've told myself every day that, like, I hate my body. So it's just been a thing that, like, I just learned to hate my body and never unlearned to hate my body. So that first flop era in college, first year college, it was all self-hatred. It was realizing that I never liked myself. I was in a relationship and I hated myself. And then I was broken up with. So that rejection I couldn't handle because I already didn't like myself. So then I was trying to cope with this first boyfriend. Okay, he doesn't like me enough. It was this crazy, wild, it was the rockiest bottom of rock bottoms for me. It was just all self-loathing, self-hatred, no self-belief, no self-worth. Self-worth was deeper than rock bottom. It just didn't exist, actually. And I'd never learned how to like myself or love myself. Now, my mum is the most encouraging woman. Like, my mum is your hype woman. And she used to tell me all the time, and she would tell all of us, you're so gorgeous, you're so stunning. Like, it actually makes me really sad that I'm saying that I hate myself, even though she was always trying to make us love ourselves. But I just didn't realize it actually all came down to my inner dialogue and what I was telling myself every day. And it just got worse in first year college, dealing with all the rejection. So I couldn't cope. I thought I was worthless. I thought no one wanted me. I thought, how could anyone want me? I don't even like myself. I don't even want to be around myself. I just couldn't stand myself. It's so sad, but just the way I spoke to myself was so mean. And I just thought I was pretty worthless. And even when I look back at photos of me back then, I do not recognize myself. Like, in school, I was really into my clothes, my fashion. I loved wearing the little dresses. And then something, I'm not gonna blame the relationship, just it kind of clicked. Maybe getting a bit older, hitting puberty, I kind of went backwards, back to like 10-year-old me, hating my tummy. That just clicked. Like, it never went away, but it kind of really clicked in like fourth year school, and mainly fifth and sixth year. And when I look back, in sixth year, when I look back, I was not looking after myself at all. I don't know who she was. So that being that way in sixth year and then going into college and then all that happened, I was not going to be thriving. There was no glow up inside. That was my floppiest, rockiest bottom era that I've had to do. It has been, because the reason any rock bottom since then hasn't been as rocky, because I at least have my self-worth, I at least have my self-love. So even if I'm in rock bottom, I can at least be kinder to myself than I was back then. I kind of just realized how horrible I was to myself. Did I see a quote or did I see something online that made me realize, oh God, like, I'm actually horrible to myself? So for that rock bottom, getting out of that one, it was all about changing my inner dialogue. Because the way I was speaking to myself, if a friend or a stranger spoke to me the way I was speaking to myself, I'd slap you in the face. Like, I'd slap you across the face. I would be horrified. You'd be horrified. Like, and we'd all do the same thing. Like, if what we say to ourselves came out of someone else's mouth, you'd be so upset. You'd be telling everyone, did you hear what she said to me? But you're saying it to yourself every day. So that's where I had to start. I had to start with changing. Like, I was my own worst enemy. I was my own bully. But it had to change. It had to go. It wasn't happening anymore. So that was all about changing my inner dialogue. It's really hard to change your inner dialogue because you've probably been doing it for years. Maybe it's kind of newer to you that you're being horrible to yourself, but most likely, I think all of us do it for years. We do it from a young age without even realizing. So it's unlearning all these horrible things that we say to ourselves. I had to unlearn that I hated my body. And for a long time, I got in a really good space with that. COVID probably kind of let it trickle back in, but again, it never went as bad as it's been before because I've grown since then. And I realize, okay, change the inner dialogue and snap out of it. Snapping out of your inner dialogue can take time. It does take time. It takes a lot of patience. It's a lot to do with tuning into what you're saying to yourself, which can be hard. Like, you're not always monitoring your thoughts. Your thoughts are just happening as you go about your day. So you really have to tune in, and every time you catch yourself saying, I hate my body, oh, I look so ugly, I look like this, blah, 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 whatever horrible thing, I can't do that, oh my God, they think I'm crazy, they think I'm stupid, they're laughing at me. All these horrible things that you convince yourself are true. Like, you believe all these horrible things that you say to yourself. We got to unlearn them. And when you hear yourself say them, you literally have to flip it around. You won't believe a word of it, but you literally have to flip it around and be like, no, I look fab. I look fab. I love my body. My body is a temple. My body is everything. My body is my vessel that carries me around all throughout the day. I'm so grateful for my body. We have to start giving our body love, or whatever insecurity it is, or is it your confidence, your self-worth? say, I'm not worth it, I'm not good enough, I am good enough, I'm amazing, I'm so good. Like, you have to reverse the exact insults to the complete opposite. So you don't believe a word of it, you know you're lying to yourself. It gets really tedious because you're just, you don't believe it. So you're kind of rolling your eyes when you're saying it, like, no, I look fab, and you're just not wanting to believe it. But if you practice it and if you stick to it every day as much as you can throughout the day, you start to believe it, because it's the exact same that you believe you hate your body. You believe you hate your body because you tell yourself that every fucking day. So if you start believing, no, I love my body, I appreciate my body, I'm so grateful for my body, you will start to believe it. I'm such a believer that you could go on whatever body journey you want, whatever weight loss, weight gain, whatever it is, it doesn't matter what you want to change about it. You might want to change something about your body. I'm such a believer because I learned it myself. If you go to the gym, or if whatever way you want to do it, and you're saying, I hate my body, I hate my body, and you're changing your body out of self-hatred, you're never going to like your body. Even if you look like your dream body, you won't even think you do, because you're being so hard on yourself. You're not allowing yourself to even allow yourself to believe that you could look like your dream body, because even though you're working on your body, you're still telling yourself you hate your body. So if you're going on a journey to change your body or change something about you, you have to do it with kindness in your mind as well. You can't change yourself out of hatred, or you can, but it won't last. It's not sustainable. If you want to change yourself, you have to be changing yourself out of self-love and doing it because you love yourself. I've actually seen a lot of this on TikTok recently, and I love it because it's such an important message. You can't hate yourself into your dream self, because that's not your dream self. Your dream self doesn't come from hatred and telling yourself these horrible things and hating your body, but going to the gym, but still hating your body. If you're going to the gym or whatever it is that you want to change, you have to then be kind to yourself and say, I love my body is my healer, like all this kind of stuff. Again, it sounds like lies, it sounds like waffle, but it literally works. It worked for me. It literally changed my mindset. It changed the way I believe in myself, the way I value myself. It changed my whole relationship with myself, and it took a long time. It started really with reading The Secret. Reading The Secret was a huge thing for me. And we're going to talk more about that, because that more so comes into my second rock bottom. So the first rock bottom, the coming out of that, obviously the self-help books are amazing. It was mainly changing the inner dialogue. And then my next one was more about self-help books. So change the inner dialogue, become your own bestie. Like, you are probably, well, I was going to say, you're probably so kind to your best friends and your family. So be as kind to yourself as you are to them. But you also might be in a place that you're not being kind to others because you're not being kind to yourself. I so get that. I've absolutely been there. I wasn't being kind to my friends. I felt like what I was going through was the end of the world. And when I look back, like, oh my God, get the fuck over yourself. Like, there is no, literally the theme is Kim, there's people dying. Like, I just was in my own rock bottom and was just being selfish and wasn't being nice to my friends or my sisters, my family. I don't know if my brothers got the wrath of me, but my sister definitely did, and my mom. My friends did too. Like, I wasn't in my happiest place, so I wasn't able to look after people the way I like to look after them and just be kind to people. So that's another thing. Like, if you're not being kind to yourself, it can be very hard to be kind to others, and that's okay. Like, that is forgivable. Like, if my friends even remember that, I don't know if they'd even say that I was, you know what, I actually think I've said it to them, and they would probably be like, you weren't horrible. They're probably just being nice. But like, most people, they don't remember, like, they're not going to say, you were horrible. But if you can just crack out of it, and it's forgivable, like, everyone, like, you can be forgiven if you're not being good to people because you're not being good to yourself. But it's very important that if you treat other people with kindness, you'll be kinder to yourself too. So maybe it has to start the other way around. Maybe you're not kind to yourself yet, so start giving kindness to others and you'll start giving it to yourself. Or once you start giving it to yourself, you'll start giving it to others. It's what's the word? Like, it's like a magnet, or like, it's like attract like. Listen, you are your thoughts, okay? Let's move on to our second flop era. My second flop era was after college. So I'd finished college. College was a good time after I learned how to love myself. And I had a really good relationship with myself, probably like third year college and leaving college and graduating. Probably in a little bit of second year college too, but mainly third year college, I was like, I am a woman. I'm graduating with my head held high. Like, I was feeling myself. I was feeling myself, I guess. Yeah, I definitely was. And that's actually when I kind of started posting like outfit photos, which is hilarious because I didn't really start on Instagram up until lockdown, like 2 years ago. But before that, it was kind of like I always loved, I always loved outfit photos. I loved makeup, all this kind of stuff. So I did kind of start posting outfit photos in say like third year college. Oh, what was that? Sorry, I just got a text, my wallet. I lost my wallet on a night out. I am the worst. I've never lost my wallet before. I have left a bag in a taxi before, but I got it back. And I'm lucky because this wallet, I got a text that they have it and all is fine. And sorry, I purposely put my phone away for this, but that was my laptop pinging. Anyway, we were discussing that I was loving fashion makeup. So I was obviously, in third year college, I had confidence to kind of post little pics, post little outfit photos just for like, literally just for me. Like there was no Instagram happening for me back then. It was literally just pics for me, a few friends follow me, that was it. So I was obviously, I was feeling myself. I grew the confidence to even be doing that. So there we go. I kind of forgot about that. Okay. So then the flop year comes, the next rock bottom comes after college. I graduate and I study makeup. I left college, I studied art history and sociology, but had no idea what I wanted to do. There was nothing that I knew I wanted to do. I didn't want to go and be an art curator, which is funny because now I guess I kind of like curate my own little Instagram, whatever you want to call it. But an art curator, I did think about it, but then I was like, no, I'm not going to do that. Sociology, I wasn't going to go and be a sociologist. And there was just nothing I wanted to do. There's so many things you can do after art history or sociology, but there was just nothing for me I wanted to do. So I went and studied makeup, and I studied makeup for a year. That was so cute. Like, that was so fun. I met such gorgeous gals. Had a lot of fun there. But then I started working on makeup counter. And I worked on makeup counter for under 2 years. And this is when I reached my second rock bottom. I'd been working retail ever since leaving school. So I'd been in retail a long time and it was kind of weighing on me mentally. If you've done retail, and I kind of know, I never did like waitressing or I never did hospitality, but I think if you've done retail or hospitality or whatever kind of customer service you're in, like it's rough. Like it's not fun. It can be very, very exhausting, very draining on your mental health. So I finally kind of reached a point of like, I cannot do this anymore. I found makeup counter, it got really difficult. It was a lot of pressure. It was a lot of sales. It was pressure on sales. Like it was pressure to sell lipstick. And for me, it was just like, this is not my career. Like, this is not my life, that I'm not going to lose sleep over sales of lipstick. But that's kind of the way it is on makeup counter. Like, it just is a lot of pressure. And it's kind of, you're meant to treat it like your life. And I was just like, I just can't do it. I just cannot do it. I cannot be stressed over selling lipstick. Like, it just wasn't, I wasn't getting anything from it. It was just draining me completely, physically, mentally. I kind of lost a lot of belief in myself because it felt like a performance and I wasn't performing well. So I lost the bit of self-belief that I'd gained. I still knew my worth, and I think that's why I left, because I was like, I know I deserve more than this. Just the way I felt in it, like you could be on counter for forever and it's an amazing job. Like makeup counter can be an amazing job, but just for me, I just developed really bad anxiety at that stage and I really couldn't cope. I would be sick, like the dread going into work. And if you know, you know. If you hate your job, you really know the agony of hating your job. Like, so yeah, I just find that really hard. So I read The Secret by Rhonda Byrne and it was all about following your bliss. There's actually a few books by her. The Secret is the main one. That's where I started with like the self-help books. But her book, Heroes, is it Hero or Heroes? I absolutely love that book. And I feel like it's not talked about enough. It's 10 stories of people who came from nothing. Like Anastasia Beverly Hills is one of them. Like all these amazing people that really started from nothing, but just believed in themselves. And they just manifested and created these amazing lives for themselves. And one of the stories was a man who hated his job, left his job because he didn't want to be miserable anymore, wanted to find out what was next, and just followed his bliss of surfing and just loved spending time with the waves. And he ended up inventing the GoPro, and that was his new path in life. So that really, I was like, wow, okay, follow your bliss. I kind of like what we're, I like what I'm seeing here. Let's do it. So I was like, let's follow our bliss. I'm going to leave this job and I'm going to do temping. I did ball temping. So I really recommend temping to anyone who's in that same situation. Maybe you want to get into retail, hospitality, or whatever job you're in, you want to get out of it. I did want to experience the 9-to-5 life. I wanted weekends off. I just wanted a weekend, like without a Saturday, Sunday selling makeup. I wanted weekends off. And even when I had weekends off, I was then painting faces. Like I was a freelance makeup artist, but I just didn't want to spend my weekends on a shop floor anymore. So I worked 9-to-5 as a temp. So I'd be a receptionist, I'd be doing admin. Good morning, how may I help you? Like I had so much fun. I really loved it because it was chill. No pressure, show up, work, get the job done, go home, get paid. It was no stress outside of the job. No one was stressing you outside of your working hours. It was just very easygoing. And that's what I needed at the time. Because I decided I'm going to work. Obviously, I need to keep working. I can't just leave and not make money. I need to leave, make money, but give myself time to follow my bliss. So I left and had the weekends to do makeup and do freelance makeup. It's kind of how my Instagram really started, because I was using Instagram to promote that I was a freelance makeup artist. I loved posting on Instagram. I loved sharing about makeup. I loved talking to people. I love talking to people, obviously. But at the time, like I just got these cute little messages like from clients, and then you'd build client relationships. Because even though retail became like my worst experience in the end, I always loved people and I loved the client relationships. I always loved meeting new people. Doing the temping gave me time to then do a little bit of my bliss on the side. And then so that flop era was really just, it wasn't self-hatred, it wasn't self-loathing, it was, what is my purpose? Like, what am I doing with my life? And that can be a really, really tough rock bottom to be in. And I don't even like calling that a flop era, because you're not flopping, like you're just genuinely struggling. Like it was such a struggle for me. I like the tears. Oh my God. I think like I was crying every night for like a really long period of time because I just couldn't cope anymore in what I was doing with my life. And your job and your work is such a huge part of your day, your week, your month, that when it's not something you love, it is so consuming, or not something you like, you don't have to love it even, but when it's not something you even somewhat enjoy, it is so consuming, it's so mentally consuming and so draining. It took me way too long to leave that job. It takes ages to just build up the courage and just bite the bullet and just do it, because then you'll have a good day and you think, oh, maybe I won't leave, but no, I just needed to leave and I finally did leave. And I'm just, it was one of the best things I ever did, was just getting out of retail and just focusing on what is going to make me happy and what I want to do. So I didn't leave retail and just become instantly happy. Like it took another year or two to just figure out who I am, what I want. It really took me a long time. Even then, after leaving that job and working the 9-to-5, the temping, the reception jobs, I was still like, what am I going to do? But I just felt a huge weight lifted. And because I was doing something I also loved on the side, like even though I loved makeup and I was in a makeup job, that it ruined it for me. Whereas then I was able to just work a job, an easy peasy job, and just work or do makeup on the side and have clients on the side. And that was bringing it back to something that I loved doing. And I was sharing makeup on Instagram and I loved doing that. I loved social media. I really was obsessed with social media. Obviously, I still am because I'm still on it, but it was just a different type back then because there was no audience. It was just me and my little page and friends or clients or whatever. So it still took time, but the defining moment of getting out of that rock bottom was leaving the job. So that really was about getting out of the job. Or you know what I would say? It was getting out of the environment. If you are in, no matter where it is, maybe it's you need to get out of home. Maybe it's a toxic environment that you're in. It could be a relationship, home, work, whatever environment you're in. If you can leave that environment, I cannot express enough how valuable that is to you. And I know it can be very, very, very hard to leave. And there's so many different types of circumstances to leave. But if it's something that you need to leave and you find an opportunity to leave, God, I just tell you to do it. Like I am that, I'm I'm behind you, telling you, if you can leave, leave. It was the best thing I ever did. It was terrifying. I felt like a failure, and I felt like a failure for a long time. I felt like a failure in the job and then leaving the job. I still felt like a failure. I thought, how can everyone else, like, why is everyone else on this makeup counter doing okay? Why is everyone else in this store okay? Like, why am I the only one struggling? Like, why am I struggling like a crazy person? Not that, you know, just in my brain, I'm sure there's plenty of people struggling, but in my head, I was being hard on myself, thinking, everyone else is able for this job. Why am I not able for this job? And I felt like such a failure. And I just felt, I couldn't believe that I couldn't hack. And I was even embarrassed to tell people I was leaving. And I was actually leaving, when I was leaving, I was signed up to study fashion buying. Yeah, fashion buying. So I did study fashion buying, but then lockdown came and I actually never ended up working as a fashion buyer because Instagram happened, which is hilarious. We will do another like full story about Instagram and really how that ended up happening. But that was my second big rock bottom and flop era. And getting out of that was, I guess, like in hindsight, following my bliss, like giving time to something I loved. Like if you're not spending time on something you love and all you do is you're consumed by work and you're not giving yourself love. I, thank God, knew my self-worth in that rock bottom, but I wasn't looking after myself in the sense I wasn't doing anything that made me happy. I wasn't doing makeup because it made me happy. I was doing makeup because it paid the bills on counter. I wasn't doing anything that I just wanted to do for myself because I was just so consumed by being, I felt stuck. I felt so stuck. And it's, again, it's cracking into your inner dialogue and realizing, okay, I can get myself out of this. I am in charge of my life. I got to take control back of my life. I just felt so out of control. Like nothing was what I wanted it to be. And I just had to take that back. So as well as tapping into your inner dialogue, I recommend so much that you just from today tap into your inner dialogue and just start being kinder to yourself. Catch the horrible thoughts, just catch them. You need to envision that you crumple them up like a piece of paper, throw it in the bin. Again, it all feels like lies, but I just encourage you so strongly to start. Journaling is another great one. Affirmations is so important. So with the inner dialogue, it's affirmations. You want to then reinforce positive affirmations of I'm gorgeous, my body is my temple. Again, you feel like it's lies, but it's what you would tell your best friend. Like when you're hyping your best friend up, that's what you need to be telling yourself. You also need to start looking after yourself. And that, of course, begins with the inner dialogue, but do things for you. Have the bath, take the long walk, prioritize yourself. When you find yourself like changing your schedule for everybody else and doing all these things for everybody else and you're not fitting yourself into your own schedule, we got to rethink. We got to rearrange. Like there has to be time for you. And this is where you glow up. When you start paying attention to yourself and when you start giving the love to yourself, maybe you're in a relationship where you're giving that love to somebody else. Maybe you're out of a relationship and finally you have all your energy and love back because you were just filling their cup the whole entire time. It is time for your glow up. You don't have to go through a flop year to have your glow up, but a lot of the time I think we just do have our rock bottom. You have to hit rock bottom in order to peak, but you might just want a little reinvention. I love a rebranding. I love a reinvention. And for me, that all just begins within. Like if you want to change your appearance, cool, perfect. Change your hair, whatever you want to do. But it has to start within. Like you have to love yourself first and then change the hair. Don't change the hair thinking the hair is going to make you love yourself. Don't change your body because you think changing your body is going to make you love yourself. You have to love yourself exactly how you are and then go from there. Because then you might rethink, okay, I love my body. I don't need to be so drastic. I love my hair. I don't need to be so drastic. Or you still might think, okay, I love myself and I want pink, crazy, bob, shaved head, whatever it is that you want to do. Like do the drastic things, but just make sure that you love yourself first because the external won't fix the internal. And I learned that. We all learned that the hard way. It takes a long time to learn that. Changing the external doesn't fix the internal. It has to start from within. And once you're kinder to yourself from within, you instantly glow. Like people will see the change. People will tell you, oh my God, you're glowing. I know a lot of what I say is really cheesy, really corny, but it's just true. It's just true. Because when I finally started looking after myself, that's when I noticed people like, oh, you're glowing. That's the glow up, girlies. So it doesn't have to be appearance. It like, honestly, for me, it's not really about appearance at all. The appearance is an aftermath. So like, get into your hair care, get into your skincare. We love all of that. We love looking after ourselves. But if it's not there internally, the external cannot glow. without the internal. And like, we can fake a glow. We have all the products in the world and we all love that. I might be having a shit day, but you wouldn't know because we'll do the hair, we'll do the makeup, we'll do the clothes. But it doesn't last long. You like, you'll burn out. Like, you just, it has to be from the inside. It has to be the inner you. God, this is really empowering. I feel like maybe, do I want to go through a glow up? I feel like, yeah, let's all go through a globe together, girls. Let's just do it. Like, let's start now, December. Let's all look stunning. Let's all be stunning. Let's all have a stunning time at our Christmas parties. We're confident. We're ballsy. We're just having a fucking good time. And the insecurities, we're not listening to them anymore. We're not listening to the horrible inner dialogue anymore. Because I'm such a practice what you preach. Like, sometimes I sit here, and even Sam will sometimes say, Sophie, your advice is great, babe, but you're not listening to yourself. I'm queen of that. Sometimes I forget about myself. I'm not looking after myself. And I'm preaching to you gals how to be your best self. But maybe I'm not being my best self. And maybe I'm not being kind to myself. I definitely go through a phase of not being kind to myself. Oh my God. Sorry. I do need to start listening to myself more. I used to be great at it, but I think COVID and all that. We can talk about recent rock bottom soon, but I really haven't had a rock bottom since that was really the last was retail and getting out of that. But I have mini rock bottoms. Like, my period is my mini rock bottom. I was just on my period there and my thoughts go so dark and deep. Like, I'm like, I'm a failure, imposter syndrome, nobody cares. Like, it does go that, you know what, my period is my rock bottom. It's like a 3 to 5 day rock bottom, and we will talk about that. Oh my God, girlies, I think it's time to wrap it up. I really hope you learned something today. I really hope you feel inspired to have your glow up. If you're in your flop era, do not worry. Your glow up is on the way. Your glow up is calling. Your glow up is coming. And I'm so excited. The best days haven't happened yet, girlies. That's one of my favorite quotes. The best days have not come yet. Your best moments have not happened yet. It's so exciting to even think like that. So that's the attitude, girlies. Like last week, I said, go out and do shit with gumption. Keep the gumption. And this week we're focusing on the globe. We're focusing on ourselves. It's the self-care for me. Okay, girlies. I love you so much. Thank you so much for being here. I'll see you next week. We have so much more to talk about. I get so excited. Anyway, okay. I love you. Appreciate you. Go out there and have the best week ever. And I'll chat to you next week. Love you.